Our combat beta has been in full swing since November, and over that time we've been polishing and refining changes to the systems with your feedback at the heart of it. We're drawing close to a release into the live game, and for this final stretch we really want to get the feel just right, and that's where today's update and you, the players, jump in. This beta patch is being pitched as a release candidate. Now I say pitched, if something goes wrong and we need to return to the drawing board, we will. And this will need to cook a little while longer, but the aim of this patch would be to refine the systems and clear up any standout issues. What this means is that it is paramount that we get players of all playstyles and skill levels trying it out to get the feel just right. When this launches into the live game, we want there to be minimal interruption to the average play session outside of improvements. And so we ask that everyone who can jump into the beta and try out some of your usual combat activities. If you're a PVM god and smash your way through bosses, or just want to get your daily combat challenge done, try out your usual combat scenarios and let us hear from you on how they play and feel with these changes under your belt. The primary focus of this update is core aspects of combat. Familiarize yourself with them so we can hear how they feel to you. Damage potential. The current roll-to-hit nature of combat is quite dated and can be frustrating at times if you're relying on an ability only for it to miss. As part of the Necromancy skill, we trialled a replacement, which made your output more consistent and predictable, which we're now rolling out to all other combat styles. We've replaced the roll-to-hit system with the damage potential system for melee, ranged, and magic combat against NPCs. We've removed a number of hidden buffs that increased your hit chance when using special attacks or ultimate abilities, as they were band-aids in the previous system. The auto-attack damage range has now gone from 0 to 100 to 20 to 100%. Previously, you could roll to hit, but then roll zero for your damage. However, in the new system, you should always be hitting. Therefore, the damage range and average has been brought up to reflect this. For example, if your hit chance against a monster is 70%, you'll hit for 70% of your damage potential instead of having a 70% chance to hit. For example, 1,000 damage becomes 700 instead of either 1,000 or zero based on whether you hit or not. Critical strikes. The current critical strike system in combat is quite dated and hard to understand. The chance to perform a critical strike is different for each ability as the formula relies on the values within the damage range. As part of the Necromancy skill, we trialled a replacement which made the calculation much simpler to understand and included more impactful result when critically striking, which we're now rolling out to all other combat styles. We've modernised the critical strike system for melee, ranged, and magic, with critical strike chance at 10%, further increased with item and perk effects, and critical strike damage, 20%, further increase with skill levels, for example, strength, ranged, and magic. This is 20% effective in PvP, so 50% critical strike damage is reduced to 10%. For example, if your attack is to deal 1,000 damage, you've got a 10% chance to form a critical strike, which increases that attack by 20%, resulting in 1,200 damage. Damage hit cap. The damage cap is the maximum amount of damage you can deal in a single hit, and any damage above this amount is essentially lost. As a result, multi-hitting abilities would perform far better than single-hitting abilities of the same total value because they were less likely to hit the cap, as the damage was spread across the hits. This was weighing melee down in particular, as there are a number of powerful buffs that, when combined, would increase the damage of a single attack. However, this often results in scenarios where it wasn't beneficial to stack these buffs together because the damage would exceed the hit cap. As part of the Necromancy skill, we trialled an increase, which we are now rolling out to all other combat styles. The damage cap has been increased from 10,000 to 30,000, and we've removed and or replaced a number of increased hit cap effects from items as they were no longer relevant. Damage ranges. Ability damage ranges are very wide in the live game, typically 20% fixed damage, 80% variable, which meant that with the new critical strike system, you could roll low in the damage range, but critically strike and do less damage than if it just rolled high in the previous systems. This leads to incredibly high variance based on whether your critical strike luck lined up with your damage rolls. We've narrowed these ranges down to be closer to which results in more consistent gameplay, which also plays nicer with the critical strike system. We've narrowed the damage range for melee, ranged, and magic abilities. The average damage of several abilities has changed slightly to use more digestible numbers. For example, 112% average damage up to 115. So an example, our 20 to 100% ability would have an average of 60 with 40% range either side. This ability is now 55 to 65%, maintaining the same average, but with far less variance. Tooltips. Tooltips have always been a bit of a pain for both players and developers. It was easy to change a value for an ability and not update the tooltip or how it interacts with different modifiers. As part of the Necromancy skill, we wrote part of the ability system from the ground up, which now allows us to iterate on abilities faster and have those changes be accurately represented immediately in the game, which we are now rolling out to all other combat styles. We've updated tooltips for all melee, ranged, magic, and constitution abilities, including relevant iconography and keywords, adrenaline consumption being visible on threshold abilities, and actual damage values visible when equipped with appropriate weaponry. We've also defined stricter guidelines for tooltip consistency going forward, but that's just for us devs. Hit splats. In the current era of RuneScape combat, combat produces a lot of hit splats. This system's handled by the engine, so numerous changes would require engine support. However, we've modified a few things that are in our control to try and improve the visuals. We've reduced the delay for hit splat fade, so now this lines up with server cycle, so hit splats are sent to the client and should appear as expected, allowing newer hit splats to always replace older hit splats if all slots are full. Channeled abilities. Channeled abilities were hard to track as they were hidden among the buff bar, and it wasn't clear when it was active or for how long. They also work differently from regular abilities in that you must be within attack range to cast them. We've made several changes that improve this, as well as support better and more unique channel behavior going forward. We've added a channel bar component to the top level interface that's now displayed when using a channeled ability, and we've removed channel ability presence from the buff bar. Channeled abilities cast out of range will now cause the player to run into range and cast as expected. We've also fixed a number of issues with Revolution being slow to act after finishing a channeled ability. Revolution users rejoice! Action bar improvements. Modernizing the action bar is an iterative process, so we're making a few smaller improvements that should increase general readability. Action bar slots will now highlight briefly with a gold outline when interacted with. Action bar slots with abilities will now show the cooldown in text form for the ability cooldown in the center of the slot. This has been enabled by default, but you can toggle it off by going to Settings, Combat and Action Bar, and then Action Bar. Global cooldown will no longer display the ability cooldown in text form to remove visual clutter. We've removed the white flash that occurs at the end of a global cooldown rotation graphic. In future, we would like to add something subtle, but for now, this is to keep flashing relevant to specifics of abilities, as opposed to having your entire action bar light up. Action bar slots that have no relation to the global cooldown will no longer display it unnecessarily. For example, the teleport to Wars Retreat. Action bar slots will no longer flash unnecessarily when you're swapping weapons after having been used in the current play session. We've reduced the size of keybind information, as it was taking up a lot of real estate when only contextually relevant. We've also shortened modifier keys. For example, Alt-C is now shortened to AC, Control to C, and Shift to S. Damage clarity. Some abilities generate their damage based on previous hits. For example, Snapshot's second hit is determined by the damage of the first. Abilities like this can have unintended consequences, such as scaling additional effects oddly. So, a good example of this is Snapshot's second hit scaling up a Ruby Bolt's damage. To make combat easier to understand, we're moving towards unlinking these abilities so the damage rolls independently. With that in mind, we've removed all linked damage rolls, such as Snapshot, Greater Ricochet, and Snipe, with Enchanted Nightmare Gauntlets. Abilities do additional fixed amount of damage if your combat stats are boosted above their base level. This is a triple problem. It leads to multi-hit abilities always being a priority over an equally balanced single-hit ability. It means boosting a stat essentially boosts your damage twice, once at the core making you deal the same damage of the level you're boosted to, and once by giving a fixed amount of damage. And it means a player with 80 magic boosting to 90 magic would out-damage a player with 90 magic that isn't boosting. To reduce the sense of the player feeling weaker from the removal of this, we've adjusted most of the ability damage ranges in the game. We've removed damage per level granted by boosting melee, ranged, and magic stats. Potions will still boost accuracy and damage, however, it won't be done via two different systems. And we've also rebalanced damage ranges to account for the loss of DPL, or damage per level. In the live game, some abilities have a heightened chance to roll their minimum hit, making them overly confusing, as their displayed damage ranges can't be used to figure out their average damage. A good example of this is Dismember. Using its tooltip, you would assume that its average damage is around 144% ability damage. However, it's in fact closer to 120% ability damage due to its increased chance to roll low. To simplify these abilities, we're removing the skewed rolling so the tooltips are a more accurate representation of the abilities. This is a buff. We've removed skewed damage rolling from all abilities such as Dismember, Fragmentation Shot, and Combust. The average damage of these abilities will now be higher than before. With all that said, we've got changes to each of the three combat styles in the combat triangle. Please see the full list of patches below in the blog to get a more detailed breakdown of each affected ability and their numbers. Melee. We've modernized and squished all special attacks. There's also some minor tweaks to costs, damage, and in some cases effects of different special attacks. We don't consider special attacks complete, but this gets them into a good enough state to allow us to easily work with them more in the future. A few notable examples include the Abyssal Vine Whip's Vine Call. The Vine Whip was quite buggy and had no real niche, so we're trying a small rework to the special to let it fit more in the realm of poison builds. We've completely rewritten the special. The Vine now deals poison damage over time, no longer deals AoE damage, no longer extends the player's range, and has 110 initial damage and an average damage over time of 25% over 10 hits. Fury and Assault have had their animations updated to better match the abilities and hit timings. They now make sense! The Leng Swords needed a new effect given their old special attack doesn't work post-combat beta, and we're using time set aside for them to give them a full overhaul, as collectively we don't think the old passive effects offered much in the way of gameplay or stylization, and ultimately was going to result in Lengs becoming a switch just for Hurricane if higher tier weapons were released. So, with that in mind, the tier 85 spec Frost gives attacks a 12% chance to apply a Primordial Ice Stack. Whenever you apply a Primordial Ice Stack, you gain 3% adrenaline. And at tier 95, Endless Frost gives you 17% chance to apply a Primordial Ice Stack with each hit, and whenever you do apply a Primordial Ice Stack, you gain 5% adrenaline. Then, for tier 85's Chill, attacks have a 3% chance to apply a Primordial Ice Stack with each hit. Whenever you apply a Primordial Ice Stack, you'll gain Frostblades for 6 seconds, meaning attacks deal an additional 12% of your ability damage stat on hit. And at tier 95, Boundless Chill, attacks have 5% chance to apply a Primordial Ice Stack. Whenever you apply a stack, gain Frostblades for 9 seconds, dealing an additional 12% of your ability damage stat on hit. Ranged. We've modernized and squished all special attacks. There's also some minor tweaks to costs, damage, and effects of different specs. We don't consider special attacks complete, but again, this gets them into a good enough state to allow us to easily work with them more in the future. All special attacks now display their cooldowns and target types in their tooltips. We've updated, rewritten, and squished the damage ranges of most special attacks in the game. Bow of the Last Guardian, balanced by force, perfect equilibrium. Critical strike changes and damage squishing have pushed the Bolg to Zanaris and beyond, because it stored damage after critical strikes were rolled, and it could then also critically strike, resulting in compounding power. We've brought it down slightly and redistributed its power to make up for the excessive strength it's gained. We hope it's getting its power a little closer to the live game. Changes include increasing buff bar priority so it falls closer to the front of the bar. The buff is no longer hidden at zero stacks to prevent it from flickering, but the buff is still hidden when the bow is unequipped. The buff is no longer redrawn when the player activates the special, preventing it from shifting position in the bar. The icon now changes when the player's next hit will trigger the passive, and the special attack duration is now shown on a separate buff icon. Shadow Tendrils. A while back, Smoke Tendrils had a little quirk that forced it to critically strike, and we built that into the ability's identity. In the live game, Shadow Tendrils has the same quirk if the player is using certain buffs, so we're cementing it into the ability's identity. Shadow Tendrils is now guaranteed to critically strike. We're also removing some of the unnecessary variance that the ability had with the randomness in hits, fixing its hit count at 5. The World of Magic! Magic Special Attacks. We've modernized and squished all the special attacks, and there's some minor tweaks and costs to damage and, in some cases, effects of different special attacks. We don't consider them complete, but again, this gets them in a good enough state to allow us to easily work with them more in the future. So, what's changed with magic? Special attacks now display their cooldowns and target types in their tooltips, and we've updated and rewritten and squished damage ranges of most special attacks in the game. Notable examples include Metamorphosis. The 62.5% increase didn't look right in the tooltip, and the ability is underused, so we're upping it slightly. We've increased the damage bonus from 62 to 66%, and in PvP from 31 to 33%. Magma Tempest. Magma Tempest's value should come from the ability itself, not a hidden inconsistency that lets an auto attack be threaded in. The targeted variant of the ability now applies an auto attack delay when cast, but we've increased the base damage to 23 to 27% per hit, resulting in a total average of 200% ability damage. Now let's talk about global cooldown abilities. Less combat experienced players often fall into issues with abilities that can be cast during the global cooldown, but only sometimes, namely Surge, Escape, and Dive, where if players use them on a specific cycles, these abilities would consume their global cooldown and generate adrenaline. We've made it so that these can always be cast during global cooldown, so you're less reliant on a specific ability order. We're also interested in experimenting with making reactive abilities more reactive. Anticipation is our test subject right now. In some scenarios, you could know that a stun was coming, but due to being partway through the global cooldown, you're unable to use the ability. This could, in theory, allow some future mechanics to require faster reactions instead of requiring that global cooldown lead time of 1.8 seconds. So, Surge, Dive, Escape, and Anticipation can always be cast during global cooldown. They no longer generate adrenaline and are now classed as abilities rather than basic abilities. Equilibrium. The Equilibrium aura and perk have suffered negatively from the damage squish on each of the styles, whilst previously a solid perk, it's now close to useless. As a result, we're giving it a full redo. We originally looked at making Equilibrium disable critical strikes, but give a large amount of ability damage. Whilst we like this effect, it negatively affected players that already had Equilibrium on their gear. We're going to rework the Equilibrium perk to something simpler and look to add the other effect to a future perk. With that in mind, the Equilibrium aura increases your ability damage by 12% but prevents critically striking. And the Equilibrium perk now increases your ability damage stat by 0.5% per rank, applying at the base level, increasing damage over time, poison, and other effects. We've renamed the perk Eruptive to better fit the new effect. Mobile perk and Shadow's Grace. Both of these will no longer cause Barge, Greater Barge, or Bladed Dive to generate half adrenaline. Finally! And we've got some assorted bug fixes. Revolution no longer delays the player after casting channeled abilities such as Greater Concentrated Blast. We've fixed an issue with Guthix's Blessing and the Brief Respite invention perk, where the maths was being calculated incorrectly. The combat dummy at War's Retreat will now correctly play a defend or flinch animation with each hit inflicted. Bully that dummy! And all targets affected by Greater Chain will now benefit from the additional hits granted by Rack and Ruin's secondary Combust extension buff. Now, this isn't a comprehensive read-through of the changes for brevity, so please hop in-game on the beta servers and get a feel for all the changes yourself. With the aim of this patch being refinement before launch, we're asking people to focus their feedback on how the systems feel compared to the current live game. There'll be plenty of time in the future for bigger picture ideas, but right now we want to set a solid foundation for the other styles, like Necromancy currently has. Are your Slayer tasks taking longer than normal? Are bosses flowing differently? How do you feel about the visual information you're getting from your tooltips and buffs? Once you've played around with the changes for a bit and have some feedback you want to share, please do so via the following. Use the Combat Beta channel in the official RuneScape Discord, head to the beta thread on the RuneScape subreddit, and both of these are linked at the top of the post alongside the link to the beta world, so you can easily jump in and start getting hands-on. If you're talking about the changes in other places like live streams or Twitter, we'll endeavour to hear you all, but using the above channels will be the easiest place to have your voice heard. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the beta, and good luck out there.